Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are, God. We thank you that you did all things, God. We thank you that you are everything that you say you are. We thank you that you opened the doors. We thank you that you freed us from our sin. We thank you that you raised dead things back to life. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love, God. Lord Jesus, we just want to acknowledge your presence in this place here today, God, and we just pray that you would use every single thing that takes place here today to draw us near to you, God. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for everything that you do in our lives, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, welcome everybody who's tuning in online. So glad that you're joining us. Can we give it up one more time for the worship team who was rocking it out up here this evening or this morning? Man, it's good to see you guys today. So thankful that you're all here. We're going to start with some announcements really quick. As you probably noticed, if you're a regular here, that we didn't have any announcements or welcome or anything like that. I'm here to welcome you this morning. If you're our first-time guest here at SBC, we're so glad that you chose us today. We'd love to get to know you a little bit. You can stop by our Connect counter in the lobby and fill out a get-to-know-you card. We've got a free gift for you. We just want to get to know you a little bit, see how we can walk beside you as you take your next steps in faith, because we've all got a next step, right? Whether we've been in the church for 50 years or 10 minutes, we've all got a next step. So what is your next step? We want to walk beside you as you take that step. It could be just getting plugged into the church. It could be serving. It could be baptism. It could be finding a Bible study to come to midweek, right? It could be any of these things, and we just want to walk beside you as you take your next steps in faith. That's our goal here at SBC. So we're going to go through some announcements really quickly here, and then we're going to get into our message. So fill the pool for back to school is going to be rounding out next week is the deadline for those school supplies. We are gathering school supplies, backpacks, socks and underwear, clean, brand new, fresh in the pack. Got to say that just to be safe. But we're actually partnering with an amazing ministry called Moms on Target, and we're also partnering with Milheim Baptist Church so that we can be a light to our community, right? This is something that we're doing for the entire community. August 2nd, we're going to be giving away free haircuts for people who maybe can't afford haircuts. We're going to be giving away free school supplies. We're just trying to bless the community, right? So that doesn't happen without you guys donating. That's why there's a giant swimming pool in our lobby with school supplies in it. So if you haven't donated yet, you still have the opportunity to do that. So we would just ask that you would buy some school supplies, throw it in the pool so that we can be a blessing to our community. Secondly, our church picnic is going to be August 10th at 11 a.m. We're going to be at Butler Park this year. There's a food and beverage sign up at the Connect counter. So if you want to sign up to bring some food, that would be great. The church provides the meats, like the main thing. So we've got sign ups for side dishes, pops, desserts, things like that. So if you'd like to do that, you can sign up to do that. And then lastly, I can't believe that we're already talking about this, but on October 4th, we're going to have our Fall Fest from 11 to 4. This is a big thing that we started either last year or the year before. It was a really cool thing where we had some vendors come in and we did some really cool things with that. So we're going to have our Fall Fest. Be on the lookout for more details regarding the Fall Festival. It was a big hit last year. So lastly, we always talk about giving because giving is so important for the church, right? So why do we give? We give to see life change made possible. We give so that we can do things to reach out into our community and to be a light into a place that needs to see the light of Jesus, right? We give so that we can see other people come to know Jesus and see their lives changed through the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. That's why we give, right? It's biblical that we would give, and we thank you to everybody who gives on a regular basis. And if not, I say it every week. You don't have to listen to me. I would just say go to prayer, go to the Lord with that, read the Bible, see what it says about giving, and then make your decision based off that. But we've got many ways to give. We've got cash or check. We've got the Tithely app, which is what I use. I just set it up on automatic. It's a really easy way to go. And then we've got the text to give as well, and of course the website. So with that, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to pray one more time, and then we're going to get into this message. Who's ready? Say, let's go. Okay, let's go. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for every person that's tuning in online. We thank you for every person that's here at SBC this morning. God, I pray over every single heart, individually, specifically, by name, you know them, God. I pray that whatever they carried in this place today, Lord, that they would lay it at your feet, God. And I pray that you would work through this time together. I can't say a word that means anything unless you use it, God. And I just pray that you would use it. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would use this time together to draw us near to you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. So, as I was talking about a couple of weeks ago when we started this sermon series, I couldn't help but think about how crazy our world is currently. Like, there are so many heavy things going on in our world. Like, we just had this whole Middle East war, right? And right now it's kind of over, but it's always so close to starting over again. And there's just so much stress and tension and political uncertainty. And there's just so much going on in our world. I couldn't help but get that off my mind while I was preparing for this sermon series. But I've got good news for you. God is in control. Amen? God is in control, and Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Our Bible tells us that not only do we have the big G God, not one of these little G gods, we've got the big G God, and he is in full control of everything that happens. Nothing surprises him. Now, as I was kind of going through some further preparation for this message, I found this quote online and I want to show it to you. We've got it up here for you. If you just follow God, everything will fall into place. And man, I don't know about you, but I wish this was true. Okay? I wish that was true. I wish this was a true statement. I wish that it was just that simple, that if we just followed God, our lives would fall into place. And the problem with quotes like this that we see on social media is that so many people believe this quote, and then they hold on to it, and then they say, okay, I'm going to believe God, I'm going to follow God, and then all of a sudden, their lives are no easier, and their lives aren't falling into place every time they turn around, and now their faith is shaken. Because the reality of the fact is that devoting your life to God doesn't eliminate hard things. We are destined to encounter tough things in our life. And a secondary reality is that serving God, even when you're doing it faithfully and you're serving and you're plugged in and you're doing all the things that you're supposed to do, it doesn't make life easier. It actually makes you a literal target. When you live boldly for Jesus, when you stand out for him, you're a threat to the enemy. Our enemy is Satan, and you are a threat to him when you live boldly for Jesus, and he will try to take you out. Now, there is a common misconception when we find ourselves under attack from Satan, and that common misconception is that when you're under attack, you're all on your own, and God just must not be looking out for me right now. And let me first assure you that I promise you he is. But secondly, I would say, rather than thinking that you're outside of God's will for your life, when you're under attack, it's evidence, many, many times, frequently, it is evidence that you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do, and you are a threat to Satan, and he is trying to neutralize the threat. I want you to understand something very, very important for me as we get started this morning, and if you're a note taker, I want you to write this down for me. A spiritual attack isn't a sign that you're doing something wrong. It's often evidence that you're doing something right. A spiritual attack doesn't always mean that you're off track. It could very often mean that you're right where you're supposed to be. And what I want to do is I want to prove that to you with God's word, because like I always say, don't trust me. Let's go to God's word. And that's what we're going to do over the course of the rest of this sermon series. This is, in fact, week two. We took a little side street last week for our young adults takeover. By the way, who loved our young adults takeover? Parker brought the word. I was like, hey, man, you need to chill because you ain't taking my job, homeboy. But he did a very good job. So we took a little side street for the second week of this Unshakable sermon series. But what we're going to do, just so that you can track with me here, is we're going to jump ahead in the story of Daniel. Okay, and then next week we're going to come back. And I promise you, by week four, we're going to tie everything together. So we're going to jump ahead in the book of Daniel. We started off last week with talking about where Daniel came from, or 2 weeks ago, and how he ended up in Babylon. So who knows, who thinks they know where we're going to go today if we're talking about Daniel's story and we're jumping ahead in it? Anybody, any guesses? The lion's den. Yes, you're right. We're going to talk about Daniel and the lion's den. Now, this is a super powerful aspect of Daniel's life. And many of us probably heard this story when we were growing up in Sunday school. But don't worry, if you didn't grow up in Sunday school and you've never heard this story, you're here today so you get to hear it. Something that I always thought when I heard this story about Daniel in the lion's den was that when he was thrown into the lion's den, I thought he was a young boy. I thought Daniel was a young boy when he was thrown into the lion's den, and this young boy was standing firm in his faith, right? And Daniel, when he went into the lion's den, he wasn't young. At this point, when he went into the lion's den, Daniel would have been about 80 years old. Now, why is it important that Daniel would have been around 80 years old when he was thrown into the lion's den? Well, there's a few different reasons, but firstly, when you're 80 years old, you've lived a lot of life, and you've probably got a lot of wisdom. And if you're 80 years old, you've been through some things, and you've probably gotten up to go to the bathroom about 25 times in the middle of the night, and that has nothing to do with anything, but I'm just saying, young people, you've got that to look forward to, okay? Anyway, Daniel's old, and the reason that's important is because Daniel has served under four different kings to this point in his life, and we've got them up here for you so we can take a look at them. These are the four kings that he has served under to this point of his life, and we're going to look at most of these throughout the course of this next few weeks, but here's why it's so important that we understand that Daniel wasn't a young boy when he was thrown into the lion's den. It's so important that we understand that Daniel was, in fact, older, because Daniel, he served over 7 decades under 4 different kings. And you know what he did with all 4 of these kings that he served under? He shared his faith with every one of them. How do you think he did that? Well, he was very smart about it, first of all, because, you know, these guys are kings and they're like, off with your head, right? Like, if you make them mad, they're probably going to take you out. So Daniel shared his faith with all of these kings, but he didn't call them names like stupid. He didn't say, y'all are demonic, bro. He didn't condemn them because they voted Republican or Democrat. The point is very clear here that he was under 4 different regimes, and he consistently and lovingly, respectfully shared his faith in God. And because of that fact, Daniel literally influenced kings. He influenced kings without ever compromising his beliefs. And how did he do it? I'm going to say it again. I can't stress this enough. He did it with consistency. He did it with love. With love. He did it with compassion. And he did it with care. Daniel shared his faith with these kings, and he influenced them without compromising his faith in God. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself, pay attention to that word, he so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Let's unpack this just for a second. Daniel so distinguished himself. Daniel stood out. If we had to have a sermon title to this, I didn't really name it. I sent one to the AV team just for socials, but I think we would call this Set Apart. If I had to title this sermon, I would call it Set Apart, because Daniel was so distinguished that he stood out. And he stood out because of his consistent faith in God. And because of his consistent faith, and because of the fact that he stood out, the king noticed him, and the king was going to put him over the whole thing. So let's look at the original text for the, my ADD is going nuts right now with those sirens. Let's take a look at the original text for the word distinguished, okay? I've got it for you, what it would look like in the Hebrew. That's what it would look like. Can I read that? Absolutely not. I copy and pasted it from Google. You're welcome. This is what it would look like. But the word is menatzah, okay? Can you guys say that with me? Menatzah. Cool. That was really good. Okay, so this is the only time in the Hebrew Bible that this Hebrew word is used. And here's what it means. We've got the meaning for you. To excel, to stand out, to prevail, or to distinguish. Maybe I forgot to send them the definition. It's cool. But this word is used to describe Daniel because he stood out among the rest. He excelled at what he was doing. Daniel was so distinguished that this king looked at him and said, "All right, bro, you set yourself apart. I'm going to put you over the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle. It's yours." Let me just tell you, if you're a Christian in this room, or if you're a Christian who's tuning in online, wherever you work, wherever you serve, wherever you post, the way that you treat people, regardless of what you're doing or how you're doing it, you should menatzah. You should distinguish yourself. You should thrive. You should excel. You should stand out. You should always bring your best and represent Christ well. As a follower of Christ, you should be the person that the boss or the teacher, if you're in school, can rely on and count on when you're needed. In the workplace, you should be the one that sounds different than everybody else, because you're not cussing, you're not complaining, you're not throwing your colleagues under the bus. As Christians, we should be the ones who show up early. We stay late. We bring our best every single day, whether we're at work, whether we're at school, whether we're on some online space, or anywhere else that we're at. As followers of Christ, we should menatzah. We should stand out. We should be set apart no matter what we do. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Everything, in all things, we should distinguish ourselves. We should set ourselves apart, menatzah. You know, I've got a lot of people in my life that are very invested in the political atmosphere and Fox News or CNN and all the things that come with it. And all of them are convinced that our nation is a total mess. And to be fair, some of it is. I get it. But what I'm finding is that the people that are so invested in this, almost all of them are allowing this stuff to control them and leading them to a place where they're living from negativity only. And you know what I want to say to that idea is that maybe our world is jacked up. I get it. Maybe things are worse than they've ever been before. I get it. But that just proves the point that it's time for Christians to stand out. It's time for us as believers, as followers of Christ, it's time for us to set the standard. It's time for us to do things like adding empathy to truth. It's time for us to love people that disagree with us. It's time for us to show grace to people who would never show us grace. It's time that we would stand out. It's time for Christians to not just say that we represent Christ with our mouths and then go out and treat people the same way that a non-believer would treat them. Instead of letting the bad parts of our world make us negative, why don't we just allow it to drive us even faster towards Jesus? Why wouldn't we just make it our mission to be distinguished? Menatzah, to be set apart. Why not make it our mission to be people that others look at and say, man, I want to be like that. They look different. They got something different, and I want it. It's time, Christian, it's time for you, for me, for all of us to stand out among the crowd. Yeah, our world keeps getting darker. But so what? When the world gets darker and darker, what should we do? We should shine brighter. We should be so distinguished, menatzah, set apart, that we should look different and we should stand out among the crowd. We should be a people that stand out in the way that we treat others. We should be a people that stand out in the way that we serve others. We should be a people that stand out in the way that we sacrifice to serve others. That's what Daniel did. This was Daniel. And the other, the leaders saw it, and they wanted to promote him, and his colleagues saw it, and they got jelly, all right? They was jealous. The people that he worked with probably would have called him words like teacher's pet. For the older group, for the younger group, Cordell, a tryhard, right? They would have called him a tryhard. This dude's a tryhard. They would have said things like, bro is just doing too much. Why is he doing all this? The people that he worked with wouldn't have liked him because he was setting a standard that made them look worse. And they were mad about it. They absolutely hated Daniel. So what did they do? Well, they did something that happens to a lot of people today, and they tried to cancel Daniel. Don't think cancel culture started with social media, y'all. We can go back to the Old Testament and see cancel culture. So they came after Daniel big time. They made stuff up about Daniel. They tried to have him eliminated. And then if we look at Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, it says this, at this, which again, at this is referring to the fact that the king was going to promote him. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So what do we see here? They're looking for dirt. Man, if you looked for dirt in Washington, D.C., you wouldn't have to look very far. I can guarantee you that. It's a different story for a different time. But they're looking for dirt. I think of like the vetting process that politicians go through. Like obviously I'm not a politician, I've never been through it, but we see when they have to go through Congress and all the different waves before they're actually nominated and elected. Like that's what I think of is happening here. Like they're just looking for something to say that Daniel isn't worthy. Let's get him in trouble. Let's get him canceled. Let's get rid of him. They're trying to find fault. But Daniel, menatzah. He was set apart. He was distinguished. He was so full of integrity that they could find no fault. Daniel had what we could refer to for the context of our sermon series as unshakable impact. And for the rest of our time, I want to look at three things. Three things that can help us as modern day Christ followers to have an unshakable impact. In a world that grows darker and darker by the minute, Christians, we can shine brighter and brighter by the second. And here's three things that can help us do that. The first thing is we serve God with integrity. Now, I'm going to count to three, and I want you to say this back with me, because when I had you say Manatza, it wasn't real good. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three, and you might be sitting there wondering, like, why are you making me say things back to you? Isn't that kind of weird? And isn't that like what those weird religions do? And maybe they do sometimes, and it's only weird if it's not true. But let me tell you why I want you to say these things back to me, okay? It's very important, because when you verbalize it, you can also internalize it. And I'm not just up here talking. This is so that we can grow near to our Father. This is so that we can build a faith like Daniel had. This is so that when our culture looks crazy, we can point to Christ and say, it's all good, okay? So I'm not just up here talking. I want you to take these things with you. So that's why when I say, hey, repeat this with me, that's why. So on the count of three, I want you to say this with me. One, two, three. We serve a God with integrity. We serve God with integrity. See, I messed that one up. You're welcome. I did that for you. Okay. I'm lying. I didn't. We serve God with integrity. We serve God with integrity. We serve God with integrity. That's exactly what Daniel did. He had so much integrity that the king was going to promote him, and his homeboys, quote unquote, wanted to cancel him, okay? Can you put verses 4 and 5 back up here for me, please? So they were looking for reasons to cancel him. They were trying to find something that would go against him. But they could find, what did it say? No corruption. They could find none of that. They couldn't find any negligent thing. Because why? Because he was trustworthy. But what did Daniel do? Daniel was just a man of his word. Daniel was the guy that wouldn't cheat on his taxes. Daniel was the guy that wouldn't be standing around the water cooler gossiping about how big of a jerk the king was. Daniel had served under four different kings. I almost said presidents. That would have been kind of relevant. But he served under four different kings, and he was faithful under four different Babylonian kings. He was faithful. He served God regardless of who his leader was. Can we just look at the relevance of that, guys? It doesn't matter who's in the Oval Office. It doesn't matter who's in the halls of Congress. It doesn't matter, because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and we are called to set ourselves manatza, to be set apart. Amen, Pastor. That's good preaching. Thank you. I appreciate it. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what political party is in office. We are called to stand out. We're called to shine. We're called to set the standard. We are called to distinguish ourselves as followers of the one who gave it all for us. That's what we're supposed to do. And Daniel, he served God faithfully. He served God with integrity in Babylon. His life demonstrated the truth that you may live in Babylon, but Babylon don't got to live in you. We may live in this world that's going crazy, but you don't have to let the world live in you. God's word tells us this in Romans chapter 12. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will. Guys, fully acknowledge that we live in a culture that seems to grow darker and darker and darker. But the reality is that we don't have to let the darkness into us. You can do exactly what Daniel did. You can continue to live with integrity, even when it would have been really easy for Daniel to turn the other way, just like it's really easy for us to turn the other way. So the administrators, the other people on the leadership team, they didn't like how Daniel was setting himself apart. They didn't like the fact that the king was taking notice and was going to promote him. They didn't like it. So what did they do? They tried to kiss up to the king because they were super jelly, right? They came to the king, and they get into his presence, and they start glazing the king. Cordy taught me that word. You're welcome. Anybody know what glazing means? They're blowing his head up, right? They're blowing his head up. These guys knew what it was. But they're kissing up to him. They're like, hey, king, man, you're the goat. You're the best king we've ever had. You're the absolute goat. You got that riz, bro. They're blowing his head up. They're pumping up his ego. They're making him feel really good about himself. And then they're like, you know what? You know what you should do because you're the goat, because you're him, you're that guy. You know what you should do? You should make a law that nobody in our region can pray to anybody but you. Because again, you're him. You're that guy. You should make a rule that nobody can pray to anyone but you because you deserve it. And the king was like, huh, you know what? I am him. I am that guy. That's a great idea. So he made a law. And the law was that nobody could pray to any god except him for 30 days. And if they did, where did they get tossed? Into the lion's den. So back to Daniel. Daniel loved God. Daniel worshiped God with everything that he had. Daniel relied on God for everything that he got. But now, all of a sudden, Daniel is forbidden to pray to his very source of everything. So put that in our cultural context, because it's relevant to all of us. What do you do when the decree or the law tells you to do something that's contrary to what God's word tells you? Daniel had a few options. I think I've got them up here for you. Daniel's options were these. He could have stopped praying, followed the rule. He could have prayed silently. He could have hid it. And if I'm being real, I think that's what 99.9% of us in this room would have done, okay? I'm just calling it like I see it. Probably me included. Let me put myself in there. Number two, he could have hid it. Prayed silently. Lord, I still love you. We're good. Like, we're cool. As soon as this decree is over, I'll pray out loud again. It's all good. I love, right? Something like that. Or number three, he could have kept praying. But what happens if he keeps praying and he gets caught? He's going to get tossed into the lion's den. So Daniel would be quite literally risking his life if he chose option three. And for those of you who know the story, you know the answer. But what option do you think he chose? He chose option three. Daniel kept praying. Kept praying. And the other administrators that were already hating on Daniel, they snitched him out, right? They told. They was like, got him, right? And eventually, Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den. Now, here's the question. Most of us know this story. Does Daniel die when he goes into the lion's den? No, he doesn't. But did you ever think about this? Did Daniel know that he wasn't going to die when he got tossed to the lions? Did he know that? No, absolutely not. To him, he would have expected this to be the end of his life. To him, this was the end of the story. God never told Daniel that if you keep praying, I got you, homie. He never said, I'm going to save you. He never said that. Daniel had faith in God in a time where he had no idea what the outcome would be. Don't miss that. We don't know what the outcome will be from day to day, minute to minute. Yes, our world is crazy. But Daniel had faith in a time where his literal favored outcome was death. I don't think we're facing that. So again, what would we do if we were in Daniel's sandals? What would we do if we were lacing up Daniel's sandals? Could we say that we would choose option three knowing that it would cost us our life? If a communist party comes into America tomorrow and says, no more praying to Jesus, I would hope we would. But would you choose option three knowing that it would take your life? Would you risk it all like Daniel did to pursue the one that pursued you all the way to the cross? Would we? It's just something to think about. So Daniel had no clue that God was going to save him. Daniel had no clue that there would be a book of the Bible written about him. Daniel had no clue that generations later, there would be little Daniels and Danielles running all over the face of the planet. He had no idea what the outcome was going to be. He didn't know. Daniel didn't know. This story literally could have ended with a funeral. A dead dude named Daniel. That's how it could have ended. That could have been the end of the story. And if we're being real with ourselves, the likely outcome, the probable outcome, would have been that Daniel was going to die. The likely outcome would have been that Daniel would have been thrown into that pit and the lions would have devoured him. So how do we have unshakable faith and impact like Daniel? How do we live with conviction in a culture of compromise? We live, we serve God with integrity. The second thing that we do is that we trust God with consistency. I'm not going to make you say this one because I messed up the last one, so you're off the hook. Daniel 6:10 tells us this. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, the law went into effect, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel just did what he had always done. He was shooting his norm. Like, cool, new law, same me. It's important that we understand that Daniel didn't treat God like his emergency 911 phone call. Daniel didn't wait until he was in the middle of the lion's den to learn how to pray. Think about this question. How many times in our lives do we neglect prayer until we're in the middle of the storm? How many times in our lives do we neglect prayer until we're in the middle of the mess? We're broken, we're hurting, we're suffering, and then we dial up our magic genie sky daddy and ask him for help. Disclaimer, God is not a magic genie sky daddy, but I really feel like sometimes in our prayer lives, we hold him in that same esteem. We don't need him until we need him. But what did Daniel do? Nothing new. He didn't do anything new. He did what he had always done. He was consistent. He did the same thing he did the day before. Daniel prayed three times a day before the decree went into place, and he prayed three times a day the day the decree went into place. He just did what he had always done. He prayed to his Father in heaven like nothing had changed. So why do I keep saying that? Consistency. Nothing changed. He did the same thing he always did. Let me tell you why. Because it's not what we do occasionally that makes the difference. It's what we do consistently that makes the difference. It's not what we do occasionally. It's what we do consistently. It's not the things that we do periodically from time to times in our life that makes the difference. It's the things that we do day in, day out, intentionally to be closer to God that make the difference. How close can you really be to God if you only seek him occasionally? If you've got a mile to walk and you take one step per day, how long do you think it's going to take you to walk that mile taking one step a day? How effective do you think you're going to be while you're walking that mile? It's going to be a while. It's not going to be very efficient. Guys, we will never be consistently strong in the spirit. We will never be consistently dying to our flesh and living faithfully, not by sight, as the Bible says. We will never be able to resist the constant attack and temptation of Satan if we're only seeking God from time to time. It's just not going to happen. It doesn't happen that way. This is why we're supposed to be committed to being in God's word. Because God's word is real, it's living, it's powerful. God's word is relevant. God's word convicts us. God's word directs us. God's word corrects us. God's word never returns void. We're supposed to store His word in our hearts, because His word in our hearts is how we stay in step with Him. We can't do it inconsistently. It's got to be something that we do day by day by day. And then what else do? We seek God in prayer consistently. And then what else do? We gather together consistently. Christians, we cannot do this on our own. We are the body of Christ, and we should stand together. We're the people of God. We are His body. And we should gather consistently in His house, not just when it's convenient, not just when there's no football game on, not just when it's not too hot, not too cold, not too rainy, not to this, not to that. We should consistently gather as the body of Christ. Why? Because we are pursuing Jesus together. That's why. This is who we are. It's not what we do occasionally that makes the difference. It's what we do consistently that will truly impact our lives. So Daniel prayed, just as he had always done. Now Daniel is under a direct and targeted attack. So what did he do? Did he run and hide? Did he cry? Did he whip out his cell phone and post on social media, hashtag persecuted? Hashtag they hate me because they ain't me, right? None of that. What was his first response? Prayer. His first response wasn't panic. His first response was prayer. And I see this all the time within the church, within the body of believers, people who love Jesus and say that they trust Him. Things go wrong, and then instead of going to Him in prayer, they panic. Instead of surrendering, they try to control and they try to manipulate. We say we trust Jesus, but at the first sign of trouble, that often changes, and we don't pray. We panic. How many times have you personally had some kind of chaotic situation come up in your life? And you do literally everything you can to control the situation, and then you throw your hands up and you say this: all we can do now is pray. All we can do now is pray. Sometimes I think about when I hear that, I'm like, I wonder, and this is just how God talks to me, okay? So don't judge me. Really, bro? Really? Now you pray? Like, now after you took control of the situation, manipulated the situation, tried to fix the situation, and made the situation 10 times worse, now you pray? Cool, bro. I got you. That's how He talks to me. I don't know how He sounds to you. But I just got to wonder, like, how can we even say this sentence? All we can do now is pray? For real? We should always turn to prayer before we turn to panic. When things aren't looking good, it should be our first turn. Because God is in control of every single situation that we will ever face. I used to have a pastor down in West Virginia, Pastor Mark Gerwig. He used to say, God ain't worried and He ain't even taking a baby aspirin. I'm not 100% sure what that means. If you ask my Aunt Kathy, she'll probably be able to tell you. But it sticks out in my mind. He ain't even taking a baby aspirin. It was West Virginia, so I had to add the twang. The point is that our God is in control. Daniel 2:21 tells us this. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings or governments, maybe. Just saying. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. Our God literally sets the course of kings. He is in control of all things. Our culture, our political atmosphere, He is in control of all things. Panic is often the first place we turn when it really should be prayer. So our God is in control. Our God is in control. His word just told us that. So what should we do? We should be in step with Him. Remember the sermon that we talked about, that what are we? We are the branch and he is the vine. Cool. We need to be in step with him, because when we're in step with him, that's when we produce fruit. So back to Daniel. Don't worry. I'm losing you. We're wrapping up. Don't worry. So what does Daniel do? Daniel prays. Daniel kneels to pray. So why is that important? Well, it's very important because when you kneel to pray, kneeling to pray is both a sign of reverence and a sign of humility. Kneeling to pray is an act of commitment. It's a commitment to focus on God, not all the noise that's going on in our world. If you're an ADD prayer guy like me, just, man, it's a struggle for me. I have to be very intentional to focus. Try this. Hit your knees. Humble yourself before God. Drown out everything else and see if your prayer life changes. I can tell you that it will. But here's the thing. This wasn't abnormal for Daniel. Daniel would hit his knees 3 times a day, not just once, 3 times a day, every day to pray. He was consistent. Why was it that Daniel could stand so strong before men? It's because he had already knelt before God. That's why he was so strong, because he depended on God. How do we distinguish ourselves in a world gone crazy? Manatza, we serve God with integrity. We trust God with consistency. And thirdly, our final point today, we honor God with faithfulness. We honor God with faithfulness. If there's one thing that we need to have as Christ followers is faithfulness. You don't believe me? One day, we're gonna stand before God. And what are the words that we wanna hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, good and rich servant. Not well done, good and important servant. Not well done, good and influential servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. These are the words that we strive to hear at the end of our journey. Now remember, Daniel's around 80 years old at the point that he got thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel had been faithful to God throughout his whole life, through 4 generations of Babylonian kings. Daniel had been faithful to God through being taken, ripped from his family, his parents likely murdered, taken to a foreign land that hated his God, indoctrinated. He had been faithful to God. Through this whole journey, Daniel was faithful to God. God was faithful to Daniel the whole time. And now, when push comes to shove, and Daniel is sitting in the lion's den, and he's the main course, guess who shows up? God. Daniel was faithful to God, and God was faithful to Daniel. So, what happens in the story? Well, King Darius, he has to throw Daniel into the lion's den, right? We've established that by this point. But Darius really likes Daniel, and he doesn't want to do it. So as he's taking him to put him into the lion's den, I'm paraphrasing here, he says, "Hey, bro, I really hope that God of yours, I really want him to come through for you. I really want him to deliver you from this," because Darius liked Daniel. So he puts him in the pit, and Darius can't sleep all night because he's worried about Daniel. First thing in the morning, Darius runs to the lion's den and says, "Hey, yo, Danny boy, you good?" And here's what Daniel says in Daniel chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. "My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, for I was found innocent in his sight. And I have done no wrong against you, O king." Respectfully. You see the respectful tone? The king was overjoyed. and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted out of the den, no wounds whatsoever were found on him because he had trusted in God. Not a single wound, because he trusted God. And because Daniel trusted God, he influenced King Darius. And there was a new decree made on that day. That decree was that everybody in the region should fear the God of Daniel. How do we have unshakable faith? How do we have unshakable impact, integrity, consistency, and faithfulness in the way that we serve God? We serve him consistently. We serve him with integrity, and we serve him faithfully. Do you want to be right, or do you want to make an impact? Daniel lived under four different regimes of Babylonian kings, and he shared his faith with every single one of them. And he did so with love, compassion, and care. And he never compromised his values in a compromised culture. Let's stand to our feet. I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes as we close out here this morning. We serve such a powerful God. We serve a God that was so powerful that he saw fit to humble himself in the form of a man and send Jesus so that we could know him. That's how powerful he is. He loves you so much that he sacrificed for you. He has already taken the first step for you to know him. If you don't know Jesus in this place this morning, the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man should come to the Father but through me. There is one way, and it's Jesus. I'm not saying that. The Word of God says that. Jesus himself said that. If you don't know Jesus, I would love for you to know Jesus today. It's not something I can do for you. It's something that you have to say in your heart, hey, I'm a sinner, right? The Bible says, for all have sinned. Me, I'm just as much as a sinner of you as you and anybody else. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only way that we can stand righteous before God is through Jesus Christ. There isn't a single thing that you can do in your life to clean it up, to be good enough for God, short of giving it to Jesus. That's how we know him. That's how we come to know the Father. It's only through Jesus. If you don't know Jesus in this place today and you say, I want to know Jesus, I would just ask that you would raise your hand here today so that we can pray for you. Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to embarrass you. This is a conversation between you and God. Okay. Now, I'm not even going to ask you guys to raise your hands for this because I think this is all of us. I think we could all set ourselves apart better for Jesus in a culture gone crazy. I think we could all be more manatza. I think we could all be more set apart, distinguished. I think we could all stand firm in our faith with love, care, and compassion, never compromising the truth, but speaking it in love, as it says in the book of Ephesians. We speak the truth in love, and in this way, we become more like Jesus. I think that's all of us, and I'm going to pray for us as we dismiss here today, but I just want to encourage you that if you want to have an unshakable impact like Daniel had an unshakable impact, I would ask that you would just let these things marinate in your heart and realize that we can be both loving and truthful at the same time. Lord Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for this time together. I thank you for our time of worship. I thank you for every single person here this morning and tuning in online. God, I pray if somebody here doesn't know you and maybe they just weren't ready to raise their hand, God, I pray that you would plant a seed in their heart here today and that you would water that seed and that it would grow into a relationship with you. It's all about you, God. It's not about us. Jesus, I pray that the body of Christ, starting right here at SBC, I pray that we would be bold for you. I pray that we would have an unshakable faith. I pray that we would have an unshakable impact, but that we would do so with love, care, and compassion. I pray that we would never compromise our values, but that we would speak truth and love. And I pray that over this entire congregation of people and everybody tuning in online. God, we love you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great week, everybody.